CIQC. I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
All aboard! Yeah!
Travel World. AM 600.
You beast. You savage. Come on, bark like a dog for me.
Ooh, push that button.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-public number.
And the crazy man are back. It's Will back. It's Stephen Pickard. And welcome back to the hands of Chad behind the console. He's back from a long stint of, playing with inflatable rubber things.
Yes, good morning, Stephen Pickford here.
So, Steve, another show. We got a couple of guests coming up, 11:30, 11:15.
Yeah, 11:15, we're talking to Erin Farwell, and she's one of the authors of the Woman Business Traveler's Guide to Survival. And a lot of the information in that book is also very applicable to male business travelers, is how to travel safely and how to get the most out of a business trip and get over some of the inconveniences and some of the bad things that happen when you travel. It's as we always say, you hurry up to wait when you go on a trip.
Well, that was our trip down to Hawaii and also to West Palm. It was hurry up to wait. You were running, you're running.
And you're just going from here to there, and you arrive, and even if you arrive early, well, it just means you wait longer for the connection. And nothing, it's not like arriving early at your destination. So you're connecting here, connecting there. You're waiting in a line for the car rental. You're waiting in the line to check into the hotel. You're waiting, waiting, waiting. And that seems to be what people are doing more of when it comes to business travel. So we'll talk to her about some of those items, but also about personal safety while traveling.
I'll never forget that time we were going to Hawaii. Kara and I got off the plane. It was going to be, an hour or so layover, and we could get back on the same plane. So leave your stuff on the plane, they said. So we're gone for maybe 45 minutes, so we figure we'll just saunter back into the plane, and it was just empty. So we figure, well, everybody's gone, and the flight attendant's written to tell us, well, the flight's been canceled. I said, yeah, right, sure, joking.
Well,
sure enough, they did.
Yep, that was. They knew you were on board, and even our flight, where we stopped, it was Minneapolis stop in Los Angeles, and it sat there for an extra hour in Los Angeles while they were waiting for a spare part. They said, well, we'd already ordered the part while we were in Minneapolis. It was supposed to wait for us, and I'm thinking, you mean we just flew those 4 hours from Minneapolis to Los Angeles without that part? Thank you for telling me now. So, we waited the extra hour. We made up some of that time and arrived there only about 30 minutes late, but
and the trip was still the greatest one we've had up
until now. That was a great trip to Hawaii, and that can certainly be recommended to anyone. Go away for someplace uniquely different from the East Coast. People say, oh, Hawaii, it's so far, but you're going not necessarily for a 3-day getaway. You're going, well, there's some people who might like to do it for that. I won't name them, they work in this building, but
well, what about the time we were talking to one of the engineers here, and he said, no, if you want a broadcast remote, you've got to have me there, not anybody else. And I said, well, that's fine. Let's send him on the overnight flight here, work the show, and attach the afternoon flight out.
Yeah, we'd take him there on Canadian, because Canadian leaves like at 4 in the afternoon and could get him there by around 11 at night. And, of course, that's rightly timed by Canadian, because they don't want to connect to anything else, right? I mean, they wonder why they have fewer passengers. But when you don't connect too much to the other islands, you're not going to get many passengers. And then, come back that same day on the 6:30 p.m. flight on Northwest. So you could be there for around 18 hours, I think, is the minimum amount of time you could feasibly be in Hawaii, and it can be done.
Well, then again, a week is a lot better. So, on to the press releases of the week,
Steve. Some of the things going on. We were 3 weeks ago down at the Cortina Inn in Rutland, Killington, and we talked about their One Great Day promotion where you could combine the Wilson Castle, the marble exhibit, and the Maple Museum.
The marble exhibit, not
the marble-like quarry and fashioning statues.
Multicolored
stone. And they have a great exhibit on showing you the differences of different types of marble and where they are quarried across America.
Well, that was very interesting, because it also gives you the different types, geologically how it's formed and whatnot.
And in the Rutland-Killington area, just south, is towns like Ludlow and Chester and Bellows Falls. And one of the attractions that starts on the third week of June is the Green Mountain Flyer Train. So if you're a rail buff, you can take a very nice scenic ride on vintage equipment. Some of them are 1940s and 50s, stainless steel cars. Others are date back to the turn of the century. And depending on the day you take the trip, you can go 10, 12 miles or... As well, there's another train that goes from Burlington down through Middlebury, which is the home of the Vermont Craft Center, and a nice little town square where you can walk around and visit shops and boutiques and have lunch at Mr. Up's. So,
yes, and the manager's name is not Chuck.
And great food, great burger, and a nice outdoor terrace, semi-enclosed terrace on the banks of Otter Creek. So that's a nice day trip.
Very good meal. The food was excellent, and of course the scenery was wonderful.
When you're sitting there, you do not know you're even in a little town. It's almost like you're right out in the country, and blocks away, you nice walking town. There's two trains a day that run down from Burlington during the summertime.
Nice little New England look to that town too, with the red brick buildings.
Really rejuvenated downtown Middlebury, just like they rejuvenated downtown Rutland, because when we were first there in Rutland in 1966, I mean, the tumbleweeds were blowing down the main street. The big thing in town was they'd ripped up all the rail tracks at the old Rutland Railroad, which had gone on strike in the late 50s, early 60s, never recovered. They closed it down. They declared bankruptcy, kind of like an early version of Eastern Airlines. And they ripped up the railroad tracks, and what they were going to do with downtown Rutland to put it back on the map again was build a Kmart. Now, they built the Kmart.
That put it back on the map?
Oh, yeah. That was, 1962. This was what was considered a great innovation, was to have a Kmart. And Kmart is still in Rutland, but they moved to the new mall on the south side of town, and its location has been taken over by Walmart. So that's the version of a 1990s revitalization of an American city, is to build a Walmart. So
yes.
Now Rutland has both a Walmart and a Kmart, so it's the fashion capital of Vermont.
Yeah, definitely.
Thinking of something to do around town this weekend, people are just driving tours. For the second year, the cider producers of the Montérégie Cider Route are holding basically an open house Sunday the 23rd, Monday the 24th, where there's a free sampling of crepes and ciders. And I emphasize the word free. That is a word we love on this show. So free sampling of crepes and pancakes and ciders. And there's 12 stops along the route at the cider producers of the Montérégie. And for information, you can call 450-674-5555. And just further afield to the eastern part of the eastern town, just right near the main Quebec border, the Astrolab in Monmagantic has opened a new Cosmo Lab, a tourist attraction for the interpretation of astronomy and physical sciences. And they have a summer program for children age 5 to 8, where they can check out the skies.
A Cosmo Lab where? Out in Magantic?
Magantic. Well, that's...
Is this the same guy who put the Cosmodome in Laval?
great location. They hired a consultant. But, no, Magantic is known for its clear skies, and you're not obstructed by the evening lights of a major metropolis anywhere nearby. So, for... checking out the stars and the skies, you want to be out in a...
That's where they're going to move the Dow Planetarium.
Yes, and build a $17 trillion monorail to connect you to downtown Montreal. I think friends of the premier are getting the contract on that one. No. Also, the first annual Lake Champlain Birding Festival is taking place next weekend down in Vergennes, Vermont.
What is a birding festival?
Well, that's where they look at birds. And one of the speakers, of course, being very fitting, is David Bird from McGill University. But they're going to be talking about some of the different bird life of the Champlain Valley and Vermont. It's taking place at the Basin Harbor Club, a lovely resort on the shores of Lake Champlain. Where they have an all-inclusive plan. I've stayed there, and it's, a country resort, turn-of-the-century feel to a summer resort experience. It's only open from May to October. It's family-owned and been in the same family since its opening. So, Basin Harbor Club, first annual Lake Champlain Birding Festival.
And soon we're going to have the Quebec-wide tour of the Hands of Chad.
Oh, yes. He's going on the road. First annual, it'll soon be the first annual Chad Kennemy Hunt for Hotties going around the province of Quebec. And that will be aboard the wings of Air Montreal, because what better way can you get around to the business centers of Quebec, such as Bagotville and Rouyn-Noranda, Bonaventure, Gaspé, Quebec City. For example, Montreal to Bagotville, just $99 each way. Hey, why drive up there for the weekend when you can take Air Montreal? $99 each way. You fly from their own VIP terminal building on Ryan Avenue in Dorval, where parking is free. There's no airport improvement fee to pay. Call today, fly tomorrow. It's just-in-time travel. No need to reserve 14 days in advance or stay a Saturday night or wait for the vernal equinox and the stars in alignment to get a good fare like on some airlines. Air Montreal is 50% less than other airlines on their route. Give them a call, 631-2111. Reserve on the internet at www.airmontreal.com.
That's not what I thought you were going to say when you said the vernal equinox. Join Chad at the Circle of Rocks and the Deep of the Woods.
Yes, right, that's what they're going to do at Mont Megantic, aren't they?
For the Massage Ritual Festival.
Yes.
Let's roll it, Chad.
Travel World will continue.
Another holiday.
Hunting your debt.
DIQC Montreal.
Hi, I'm Lita Polson, broadcasting from Bowie Matsuno this morning. We're on St. Charles, corner of the Trans-Canada in Kirkland. Love you to drop on by. Lots going on here. Many washer and dryer set models to choose from in store. And Bowie Matsuno's Save the Equivalent of the GST event continues this weekend. You save 7%, the equivalent of the GST, on all furniture and on Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Frigidaire, and Gibson appliances, whether you need one appliance or all the appliances. Big promotion is this weekend. Promotion this weekend also on the Whirlpool washer and dryer set. The washer features six washing programs, a self-cleaning lint filter that never needs to be cleaned. That's a plus. Oh, yes. And plus, it's a super capacity plus tub that allows you to wash even bigger size loads. The dryer features four drying programs, including automatic drying, reversible door, plus the Dura White basket finish that offers protection against nicks and scratches. Very soft on your clothes. And the pair, $8.99. That's including the free service and the free delivery. And you can take advantage of the purchase plan that lets you buy now and pay only in April 2000. Gives you a break, especially if you're moving this year. We know how hard that is. And you can protect your investment with the extended maintenance service plan at Bowie Matsuno, St. Charles, corner of the Trans-Canada in Kirkland.
Don't forget your best friends when you go on vacation. Call Langille Kennels in Dorval today, 631-8704. West Islanders have trusted Langilles with their pets since 1970. With an animal hospital right on the premises, pet owners can relax knowing that a veterinarian is not just on call, he's on site. And your pet will delight in Langilles' choice of diets and experience care just like at home. Plus, each dog enjoys the freedom of his own indoor and outdoor run. Your pet deserves the very best. Langilles Country Setting Kennels in Dorval, 631-8704.
There's always lots to do Saturday mornings, including enjoying a good breakfast, like the kind you get at Chez Carole. Your breakfast home away from home 6 days a week, including Saturday. Chez Carole on Bridge Street in Point St. Charles provides great breakfast, from petit déjeuner for as low as $1.50 to a full breakfast for just $2.95. It's comfortable, it's cozy, it's open. Saturday mornings from 5 a.m. to noon, and they're waiting for you. Chez Carole, 321 Bridge Street across from Club Price. Go on, you deserve it.
While in Montreal, guests of Travel World stay at the luxurious Hotel Dufour, offering informal elegance and a vibrant sense of space in each guest room and suite. All the comforts of home and office, from beautifully styled custom-crafted furniture to kitchenette convenience. Enjoy panoramic views of the St. Lawrence and Mount Royal, then step outdoors to a multitude of shops and restaurants at your doorstep. Upscale service for the discriminating business or leisure traveler. Hotel Dufour, 1390 4th Street at St. Catherine. Telephone 938-8333.
Hi, this is Vic Phillips. You're listening to Montreal's only travel show, Travel World, on AM 600, Canada's first station, CIQC.
Talk Radio 600, CIQC. Everybody's working.
Welcome back to Travel World. Willem Backus, Stephen Pickford, in the hands of Chad behind the console. He's back. The man is here.
Yes, the one and only.
And we're working on the weekend. And as we're working, we speak of business travel.
Business travel.
To construct that's a bridge here.
Yes, a segue.
A segue. The Melanie yes. Refus word. Even Jim Duff is using it.
Oh, yes. It's
segue.
Just spreading out throughout the entire language. You heard it once and first time on Travel World, and it just goes all over.
So Aaron Farwell has written a book with two other people on the Women Business Traveler's Guide to Survival, Careless Mistakes People Make When They Travel. So we'd like to welcome to the air, Aaron. How you doing?
Fine. How are you doing?
Welcome to Travel World.
Well, thank you.
So you say in here that you should sweep your hotel room before closing the door behind you.
Yeah, that doesn't mean bring a broom.
Okay.
Yeah, that was one of Stephen's lines.
I know. I had to. You left me wide open.
Yes.
Basically, you don't want to lock yourself into your hotel room until you're sure that you're alone, if you're supposed to be alone, that is. I mean, if you're by yourself and you come into the room, a lot of people shut the door, they lock it, and they start unpacking. But before you actually lock the door, you want to make sure that there's nobody under the bed or in the closet or behind the curtains or behind the shower curtain, you know, the psycho thing. So you just want to make sure that you are actually alone before you lock the door. The only thing worse than being not alone unexpectedly in your hotel room is being locked into the hotel room unexpectedly not alone. So you want to make sure, that's all, just be safe.
Just to be safe rather than sorry later.
Exactly.
So what all kinds of mistakes do you, this is just one of them, but what kind of mistakes other do you cover in a book like this?
Well, see, what we did was we looked at a lot of different things from safety to health. I mean, nutrition-wise, business travelers make just horrible mistakes. We look at just things that we do to wear ourselves down in a lot of different ways and how to avoid that. From a hotel safety perspective, I think one of the biggest things that we do as a group, which is sort of funny, is that when you check in, and everyone always says, make sure that the people behind the desk don't say your hotel room number. Don't let anyone know where you are. And so the staff behind the desk, when they check you, and they never say, you know, your hotel room number. They hand you a little piece of paper with it on it. And then you go to the elevator, and somebody's with you, and as you're leaving, they'll say, oh, I'll call you later. And you'll say, okay, great, I'm in room. And you yell it to the to everybody. I'm in room 1178 or whatever it is. So I mean, it's not a good idea to let strangers know what room you're in.
That defeats the purpose, yes.
Exactly, especially if you're a woman traveling alone, or staying alone in the room, and we tend to do that all the time. Oh, yeah, give me a call, I'm in blah, blah, blah room, and everyone around you is like, oh, that's what room she's staying in, and we do that all the time.
And people write it down, and then you get an unsuspecting call later on.
Yeah, a visit, yes, exactly.
Yes.
The other thing that sometimes that you don't think about, though I think that from a safety perspective, I'm focusing just on hotels right now, is we check in at odd times. Like, I travel a lot. I mean, I check in a lot of times really late at night. It's good to try to check in during peak hours. You might have to stand longer in line, but there's more people around in the hallways when you're going from the check-in counter to your hotel room. And it's just nice to have people around kind of keeping an eye on each other. So if you check in not only late at night, but early afternoon, there's not a lot of people in hotel room hallways early afternoon. So you want to try to check in peak times, and if you can't, ask for an escort to your room.
Okay, that would be, and make sure that it's a uniformed hotel employee, not just somebody walks up.
Exactly.
I have to see.
Exactly, just somebody go, oh, you look good, come with me. No, make sure they actually belong to the hotel. So that's a biggie, really, is checking in. And actually, I sat next to an attorney once who is the head attorney for one of the large hotel chains around the world, and he said that the biggest mistake that, in his experience, from a legal perspective, when he sees the results of mistakes, is people not using the peephole.
Oh, yeah.
Opening the door and letting people in.
They'll just take anyone in the room, and just because they knock and they say room service. And
exactly. And you just, the door gets open. He said that probably over two-thirds of the murders which occur in hotel rooms around the country every
year could
be avoided. Murders, yes, murders could be avoided if you just use the peephole.
Good grief, yeah.
Well, and I have a problem because I'm only 5 foot tall, and in a lot of hotel rooms, the people are higher than I am. So, you know, it's like, do I drag a chair over? You know, what do you do? But it truly, truly is worth taking that effort.
My goodness. Now, is this really a problem? You're talking about having somebody escort you to your room, but, I mean, honestly, from Stephen and I traveling and whatnot, no, obviously, it's a couple of big burly guys walk into the room. Nobody really messes with us, but
well,
is it really a problem?
You got two things going on. One is there is a little bit different perspective for a woman traveling than a man traveling. And so from my perspective, again, I'm 5 foot tall, and I would be really easy to just scoop up and car off somewhere. And so I don't use an escort often, but if I am in a situation where I do feel uncomfortable, it's fine to ask. The other thing, too, to keep in mind is that if you're a man, especially, it's not so much going from the lobby to the hotel room, but men get most often robbed or attacked from just not a murder situation, but just an attack situation or a robbery situation, going from the hotel from the parking lot to the hotel. And what happens is, it doesn't matter how big and burly you are, your hands are full.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're not exactly in a position to defend yourself. And not only are your hands full, but they're full with something people want. You've got the computer, you've got the cell phone, you've got, you know, cool stuff in your briefcase, and you've got some type of clothes in the suitcase. So it's not something, I know that from a men's perspective, it's not something to think about as often, but men get robbed very often in parking lots of hotels. And again, I think it's mostly because their hands are full.
And some people park where they think it might be easiest to park, and it's the furthest end of a parking lot, and it's not the safest area. It's not well lit or near a major entrance.
Exactly. And a lot of people don't think, well, I'll just go, I'll pull up front, I'll leave my stuff with the concierge, and then I'll go park. At least then your hands are free and you could do something. But no, they think, oh, I don't want to take that extra step. I'm tired. I'll just go park, and I'll walk myself. What's going to happen? Well, you really don't want to find that answer out. You know,
not the hard way.
Exactly.
And particularly with, like, indoor parking arcades at some hotels, you're like 4, 5, 6 levels, and there's absolutely nobody around at midnight, let's say.
Exactly. And for a lot of business travelers, that is when we come to the hotel.
Now, you have a few things along these lines, what to carry to improve your personal safety. What should you carry?
One of the things, it was a recommendation someone made, and I've started using it. It's a really great thing. You have to keep in mind that most thefts in hotels and late night unauthorized entrances into hotel rooms, let's put it that way, occur by hotel staff. They have keys, they know how to get through the systems, and so some people want a little extra protection just to make sure that they are alone and they stay alone in their hotel room. And the best thing that I've found and heard of is to bring along a rubber doorstop.
Oh.
It's just a small, it's lightweight. As a traveler, it drags your stuff all over the place. This is important to me. It's small, it's lightweight, and it's really easy. You just, you know, shove it under the door, right under the door handle, and it will keep, it doesn't matter if someone has a key or not, it will stop them from coming into the room.
And they also sell these, I don't know how effective they are, but also like door alarms. My aunt bought one once where you put a door alarm on the, I think it worked better than my grandfather putting the 6 chairs beside the door in case somebody came in. The Howard Johnsons in Concord, New Hampshire, dumped, they got kicked out of the chain, yes.
We have in the back of the book a place, we try to give people resources, and there's a place that you can call to order, and it looks like a rubber doorstop, but it's not rubber, it's got a metal plate on it, and when you set it up, you don't want to have it touch the door, but just near touching the door, and if somebody rattles the door or tries to get in, it'll hit the metal thing, make a connection, and a big alarm will go off. So yes, you can carry that too. The other thing to carry is big safety pins. A lot of times, I don't know, you guys have stayed in hotels, how often is it that the curtains actually shut all the way?
Ah.
They let that extra daylight in, yes.
Exactly. Well, and also, you know, depending on how close you are to other buildings, you could let all sorts of things in that you really don't want, and you're just prying eyes. And so keeping some big safety pins, or what also works is the big black metal clips that you use for big reports and stuff, those work really well at keeping the curtains closed.
That's interesting
as
well.
You have another interesting thing here, distraction crimes.
Oh, airports. Yes, in airports, you're not likely to be physically attacked. You're likely to be robbed. I mean, and the business travelers, we're targeted because we have all the cool toys. We've got the computers, we've got the pages, we've got the cell phones. I mean, we've got all the fun stuff. And so as a group, we are targeted. And a lot of thieves actually dress like business travelers in airports. They can pick up that briefcase and blend into the crowd, and you don't even know what's happened. But a lot of thieves in airports especially use something called a distraction crime, and it's a two-person setup. Basically, one person distracts you while the other person walks off with your things. I had, in one day, 2 different friends of mine got their purses stolen at 2 different airports due to distraction crimes. And they can be really creative, these guys. The simple one is just one person strikes up a conversation with you, and they make sure that you have to turn away from your things to have the conversation. And so while you're turned and you're talking, the other person is picking your stuff up and walking away with it, and often just a wallet or a small purse, so you don't really notice it until you're on the plane and you're away. One of my favorite distraction crimes is something I call the mustard bandit. Basically, that's where somebody comes up and squirts mustard or ketchup or whatever condiment they choose on your back, and then they stop you very helpfully and say, oh, did you know you have mustard on your back? And you say, oh, no, I didn't realize. Well, you set your stuff down, and then they turn you away from it and pick up a napkin and very helpfully wipe that off, and while they're doing that, someone else is walking off with your things.
No, that I've heard of that one. Also, another ploy some of the people use is that they'll ask you for help with directions, bring out a map, or
exactly.
they will try to show their, you know, an airline ticket, say, can you tell me where this gate is?
Exactly.
And they try to engage you in conversation, and all that time somebody else is, you know, picking up the bags, and it only takes them 30 seconds or so, and away they go.
Exactly. And again, since they usually are dressed like business travelers, They just blend right in.
Aaron, it's time to talk about pizza right now. Sorry to interrupt you, but we're going to get back following the break to talk more about this and also the five stupidest things people do with their luggage, not including the stuff Stephen and I do.
The stuff we put in our bags. And time for lunch is coming up soon. It's 11:30 in Montreal. 30 minutes or less, great Montreal-style pizza from Montreal Company will be at your door. Piping hot, oven fresh, real great pizza, and a whole lot more from Pizza Donini, 383 6000, 31 locations in Greater Montreal. Just that one number to remember, 383 6000, Pizza Donini.
Chad, let's roll it.
AM 600. Travel World will continue.
CIQC, Montreal.
Good Saturday morning to you. I'm Lita Poulsen, broadcasting from Bois-Martineau for all your electronics. We're on St. Charles, corner of the Trans-Canada in Kirkland. And right now I'm checking out the over 10 air conditioner models available in store, starting at just $299. The Samsung 5000 BTU room air conditioner with two-speed fan is on promotion this weekend. It features a 12-position thermostat control, an antibacterial filter, $299 with free delivery.
Everybody has different tastes in lighting.
The Samsung room air conditioner 8000 at $399. The 10,000 at $469 and the 12,000 at $549. And don't forget, too, Fido has arrived. You can get the launch package here at Bois-Martineau. Come check it out for all the details. Plus, you can protect your investment with the extended maintenance service plan to make your life a lot easier, too, and to allow you to benefit from all the specials. Bois-Martineau will accept Visa, MasterCard, Interact, Bois-Martineau credit card. And don't forget also the over 32 stereo systems to choose from, starting at just $179. We have the Sharp stereo system, 3 CD drawer style change. Two-way speakers for $179. Check everything out here at Bois-Martineau for all electronics.
And soothe your body at Luxocor, Massal Therapy at its finest. Enjoy a professional, therapeutic, Swedish, Californian, or stress-healing massage in a warm, inviting, upscale atmosphere given by a caring staff for whom your total comfort and well-being are the utmost concern. Luxocor, 374-8181. Open 7 days a week from 10 to 10 by appointment only. Your body deserves a break. Relax and enjoy at Luxocor today. 374-8181. Melt your cares away with Luxocor, 374-8181.
Beat the clock, Monday, the mega event that saves you more the earlier you buy. It's Finelli's 10th annual Beat the Clock sale. One day only, Monday, May 24, starting at 6 a.m. Get the early bird advantage because prices rise up to $300 an hour. New and used models included. See them now. In Lachine, it's Finelli Lexus Toyota. In LaSalle, it's Finelli Honda. And in Pointe Claire, it's Finelli Nissan and Finelli Fairview Toyota. Check the Saturday Gazette for more details. Then early Monday, beat the Finelli clock.
Via Rail is proud to be the official ground transportation carrier for Travel World's media correspondents. Business taking you to Toronto, but tired of battling traffic on the 401, the confusion of Pearson Airport and high airfares? Next time, arrive refreshed and relaxed. Pamper yourself with Via One first-class service from downtown to downtown. A hot meal served at your seat, full stretch-out comfort that allows you to spend productive work time, not lose time en route. Via One, the way Montreal-Toronto travel was meant to be, from Via Rail, Canada's passenger train network.
Did you ever think when you eat Chinese, it ain't pork or chicken but a fat Siamese? Yet the food tastes great so you don't complain, but that's not chicken in your chicken chow mein. Seems to me I ordered sweet and sour pork, but Garfield's on my fork, he's purring here on my fork. There's a cat in the kettle at the Peking Moon, the place that I eat every day at noon. They can feed you cat and you'll never know, once they wrap it up in dough, boys, they fry it real crisp in dough. Shaolin asked if I wanted more as he was dialing up his buddy at the old pet store. I said, not today, I lost my appetite. There's two cats in my belly and they want to fight. I was sucking on a Rolaid and a Tums or two, when I swear I heard it mew, boys, and that is when I knew. There's a cat in the kettle at the Peking Moon, I think I gotta stop eating there at noon. They say that it's beef or fish or pork, but it's purring there on my fork, There's a hairball on my fork.
Oh, hi, Chad. This is Maria from Salisbury. We'd love to show you around. Come on down. We have the place is great. I know just where to take you. The boys will explain it to you when they get back.
CIQC.
Tell me, how will I ever be the same when I know that that woman is whispering?
Chad strikes again. Willem Back is Stephen Pickford, and the man with the hands behind the console.
And we're continuing here with Aaron Farwell, the Woman Business Traveler's Guide to Survival, with tips that can apply to any traveler. Some great advice in there.
So, just before Chad, cut number 31 for the next lead back. Anyway, so Aaron, we were talking about airport crimes before the break.
Yes.
And the distraction was, Stephen and I, we read this other book with this guy described like numerous crimes like this. Do you have a whole chapter on this or something?
We have a whole section on airport safety, and in the airport the safety issues are usually theft versus attacks, and so yes, we deal with all sorts of crimes that occur in hotel or in airports, I'm sorry, and hotels. We do that too.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty interesting thing. Now, what are the five stupidest things people do with their luggage?
We thought we did stupid things, but there are stupider things out there that people do.
Well, and the scary thing is that some of them don't seem stupid until you get your luggage stolen, and then you go, yeah, that was really stupid. One that's become pretty common that people are more aware of is putting something on the conveyor belt at the airport, at the security place, and it goes through and something stops you from going through, and by the time you get through, somebody's picked it up and walked off with it. That's a biggie. However, since so many people are aware of that, a lot of people are putting their stuff on the conveyor belt, they're rushing through the security, you know, the metal detector, and they get on the side and they're waiting for it. And today what thieves are doing is they're pulling it off before it goes through the X-ray. So you put it on the conveyor belt, you rush through, and you're waiting at the other end. And while you're waiting, someone's on the other side, you know, before they've gone through, and they've picked it up, and they've walked off with it. So you've got to stay with it at the conveyor belt. Don't let it get too far ahead of you. Don't let it get too far behind.
Keep your eyes on it at all times.
Exactly. Don't get too far ahead. Don't get too far behind. And the next one is something that I just see all the time. People leave their stuff in a chair in the lounge at the airport. You're by your gate. You set something down, and you go to the phone. I've seen people do this all the time. They'll set it down. They'll go to the phone. If they're talking, and they think, well, I can see it, so it's safe. Well, you know, you're talking with your boss or your big client, and someone comes up, and all you basically get to do is you get to watch it leave. You can see it, but you can't do anything about it because it's clear across the room. And people do that all the time. They leave it outside of the bathroom doors. You know, in airports how small those bathroom stalls are. You know, they think, oh, it doesn't fit. I'll just leave it here. Well, you can leave it there. And then again, once again, you get to see the wheels get wheeled away. You know, then you get to see it at the bottom of the door.
That gets you pretty helpless, huh?
Unless you run out after the guy with your pants down around your ankles, like.
Steve would probably do it too.
One of the most common places that men get briefcases stolen is in airport stalls. So put it up against the door on the inside, and someone just reaches under, snags it, and going again. What are you going to do at that point in time?
Yeah. That's as bad as tapping someone on the shoulder at the urinal. They are kind of helpless at that point.
You are, exactly. One thing that people don't think about, but that happens a lot, and it's become a really big place where luggage gets stolen, is if you're you come up to the airport and you want to check your luggage with the SkyCap, if their luggage cart isn't full, you know, it's not close to being full, your luggage is going to sit out there for a while, and the SkyCap isn't paying attention to your luggage. They're helping the next person. You've checked your luggage with them. They've set it on this card. They're helping the next person, the next person, the next person. It's really easy for someone to come by and go, oh, you know, I've decided I don't want to check that. I'm going to carry it with me. And pick it up, and off they go.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's paying attention. The other place that people leave luggage that's just really not a smart thing, and I've done this, and I've seen people do it all the time too, is if you're attending a conference, and so there's a big room, and you've been there for a couple of days, but it's the last day, and you've already checked out of your hotel room, and a million people have their luggage stacked against the back wall of the conference room. because they want to be able to, as soon as the conference is over, go pick it up and leave with it. Mm-hmm. People get stuff stolen all the time that way. No one's keeping track of it. It's better to check it with the concierge, even though it takes a few more minutes to retrieve it, than to just leave it in the back of the conference room. And then people do that all the time.
There'd be no way to know whose bag was whose anyway. Anyone could walk in, even if, you know, non-attendee, yeah.
Exactly. Nobody's paying any attention.
And even if it was unintentional, somebody could just pick up the wrong bag. A lot of bags look the same.
Look alike, exactly. Especially these days. They've only got the little black roller, you know, suitcases. And frankly, most of the computer cases look the same these days, too.
So you could end up getting home and finding out that you've got the wrong bag.
Exactly.
Pretty interesting how people leave their things out in the open quite that way. Now, this book isn't just about avoiding theft and assault. It's also about other things, for instance, personal health and whatnot.
Exactly. What we did was we tried to look at the areas that would help somebody be really effective and productive when they're traveling. And so what we do is you base it on a pyramid, and the base of the pyramid is safety. If you're not safe, you shouldn't be on the road, let alone trying to be effective and productive in your business travel. And the next level up is physical health. If you aren't feeling good, you're either not going to travel when you need to, or you're not going to be able to be as effective while you're traveling as you need to. And so we look at a lot of different things. The biggest one thing that business travelers could do to be healthier when they travel is just drink more water. As a society, we don't drink enough water anyway. When you travel, especially on planes, you get dehydrated more than you would sitting in an office building. And coffee and sodas and stuff aren't enough. You need to drink normally eight glasses of water a day. If you're traveling, you should be drinking about 12 glasses of water a day. Of course, the person next to you in the airport row that you have to keep, you know, moving as you get up to go to the bathroom doesn't like you drinking all of that water. But for your health, it really, really does make a difference. The other things that we look at is diet, because, I mean, the basics of health is diet and nutrition and that kind of fun stuff. And when you travel, you've got so many things. You know, first of all, you're probably not eating at normal times because you're catching things when you can. Hotel and restaurant portions are much larger than you should be eating. And if it's something to do because you're bored and, you know, you're in your hotel room for the night, there's nothing else to do, and you've got a big meal in front of you, you're just going to eat whatever you want to eat. And, you know, you regret it later. But the biggest thing that is a problem when you travel, whether you're a man or a woman, is getting a balanced diet. I mean, it's kind of like Mom wrote that section of the book for us. It's like, you know, eat all your vegetables. You do want to have a balanced diet. And the odd thing is that it affects different people different ways. For example, most men, when they're traveling, it's like they're on an expense account. They think, oh, man, I can have this steak. You know, they end up doing the steak and the French fries and that kind of stuff the whole time they're traveling because someone else is paying for it. With women, we tend to go more, I don't want to gain weight, so I'm going to eat light and healthy. Well, what can happen then is you end up eating almost all carbohydrates and having no protein, and so while you might get the little boost you need to get to the meeting, you don't have the long-term fuel to sustain you while you're traveling, because traveling for business is really hard work. And so most men end up with too much protein and not enough vegetables, and most women end up with too much carbohydrates and not enough protein. I mean, when they look at the menu, they think, oh, that pasta dish is low calorie, I'll have that, versus, you know, having some chicken with it or something to increase the protein value just to get a more balanced diet. So that is a huge, huge problem when you're traveling.
Yes, everything that you would eat, and you're going to be exposed to, you know, food on the run and a lot of burgers and fast food sometimes, and everything, you know, sometimes you'll be eating six small meals a day. It'd be all strange scheduling.
Exactly. Well, and then a lot of times what happens is you're rushing in the morning, so you might grab, you know, a Danish with your coffee in the airport lounge, and then you end up at Burger King at lunch or something like that. And then at dinner, you might have dinner with the client and have a six or seven course meal because, you know, you're trying to impress somebody. So you've got, you know, the soup and the salad and the appetizers. And by the end of the day, when you look back at what you've eaten when, it's like just this huge mistake. And then you get to do it again the next day because that's what life on the road is like. So just try and moderation and just balance. I mean, that's so much of what this book is about in general, just balance. Not going to extremes on any level. So that, and on the diet and nutrition, is a biggie. The other thing about health is back. A lot of business travelers have back strain. We take luggage in and out of the overhead compartments. We drag it. You know, half the time the wheel's stuck, and we're still dragging it through the airport. I'm very short, and so my problem with luggage is that the handle on my pull luggage is too long. It pulls my shoulder funny. But I've seen, like, 6'4" foot men traveling, dragging behind them a suitcase with the handle is so short, and you think, they're hunched over dragging the suitcase behind me. Like, just pick it up, just check it, or get a longer handle. There's so many things that we do to our backs as business travelers. We're dragging the suitcase. We've got the computer on one arm, the briefcase on the other arm. We're trying to balance our cell phone as we're talking to somebody. So we're dragging all this stuff, down the jetway. So you need to do a lot of stretching. That's the other thing for health, is doing lots of stretching to make sure that when you get to the end of your trip, you can actually put your luggage in your trunk and drive home, It's just, that's a biggie for business travelers.
Aaron, it's time for another break. As soon as Chad gets back to the console.
And stay with us, and we'll continue up our conversation after this break. Stay
Let's
listening.
Roll it, Chad.
Travel World will continue. Keep on rocking
me, baby. Go choose some razor blades. Keep on rocking
me, baby. Kind of look like a couple of red lobsters.
CIQC, Montreal.
Everybody has different tastes in lighting, and we know that. So, if you're stuck in the 60s, you'll love Grooving to the Luminescence of our Lava Lamps at only $89.99. But hey, man, if that's not your bag, our crystal collection trips the Light Fantastic at 20% off. Far out.
Discover the latest and most innovative designs in lighting at Union Lighting and Home.
It's just a question of taste. I've seen it all. It's what I do.
Union Lighting and Home. Decariot Royal Mount. Welcome home.
Before heading off on your next trip, head off to Jet Setter. Jet Setter is Montreal's travel accessory center with the largest selection of travel accessories in Eastern Canada. Everything that you could possibly want relating to travel, all in one location. Money belts, water purifiers, miniature binoculars, travel irons, guidebooks, and maps. Plus converters and adapters for all your electrical needs, including computers. What's more, you'll find every imaginable kind of rolling luggage, including duffel bags, knapsacks, and travel packs from such name brands as Tumi, Travel Pro, Skyway, Lusportsack, Kipling, Timberland, Eagle Creek, Briggs & Riley, and more. At Jet Setter, I found you don't pay more for quality and personal service. In fact, you'll save with Jet Setter, and GST is included in every price you see. Jet Setter, Montreal's Travel Accessory Center, 66 Laurier West, between Clark and St. Urbain. Telephone 271-5058.
Sure, I'm cool now, but when it was hot and muggy, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't cook, I couldn't do anything.
Stay cool this summer with SuperTube Rentals.
So I rented an air conditioner from SuperTube. They sent those nice men to install it. Thank God I didn't have to lift that heavy thing. My son even had one installed at work.
Have a rented air conditioner installed in any room in your home or office from only $139 for the season. So don't wait for that hot, muggy day to make a decision. They'll be sold out early. SuperTube, 341-3400, 341-3400.
You're listening to AM 600 in Montreal, Canada's first radio station.
In Des Moines, Iowa, happy to be back on the air in Montreal again with Stephen Pickford and Travel World on AM 600 CIQC.
CIQC. AM 600.
Don't need nothing but a good time. How can I resist? Ain't looking for nothing but a good time. And it don't get better than this.
Welcome back. It's Stephen Pickford with the hand of Chad back. It's Travel World, third, fourth segment now.
Yeah, good coming grief. Up 11:48 in Montreal. We're just
we
got to
put one
here.
Of those stickers above the console that says "Toute mon attention est nécessaire pour mon travail, s'il vous plaît, ne me parlez pas."
Oh yes,
like on the bus.
Like on the bus. Do not. All my attention is required for my work. Except, do not talk to me except if you're talking about last night's hockey or baseball game. And of course, that is somebody who did make the Montreal Mirror. Chad made best massage in the city. Well, honorable mention for Montrealer closest to hell, Superintendent Celeron Bus Garage. So
there you go.
Aaron LaChapelle, yes.
So, we were talking about a few things. Aaron, what are some of the funniest things you've seen while traveling?
some of them I might say on the air.
Okay, go ahead. That means there's the real juicy stuff. We want to hear it.
Yes.
The one that pops in my mind, I'm really not sure. I had a friend once who, he and I were traveling together, and we stopped at a mall on the way to the airport, and he bought one of these things that sit on your desk, they're magnets and they have like little metal filings on it.
Mm-hmm.
You can shape it. Uh-huh. He bought one with metal balls. And he put it in his briefcase, and we were late, and we were running to the airport, and we get to security, and right before he goes through, all of a sudden he turns around and he looks at me and goes, Aaron, will my ball set off the metal detector? And I had no idea what he was talking about, and finally he realized what he was talking about. And realized it wasn't going to be a problem, but my first thought had been, you know, I've traveled with him before. This has never been a problem. I don't know what to say.
That's those implants, I guess.
Exactly.
Yes, that's what the bionic man uses.
When I was training somebody once, I'm a consultant. I was training another consultant, and she was deathly afraid of flying. She took this job knowing it was travel, but she didn't want anyone to know that she was afraid to fly. But I supervised her, and it didn't take too long to figure this out. So she would be very tense when she got on the plane, and she and I were sitting in seats across the aisle from each other. So I'm sitting on an aisle, and she's sitting on an aisle, and she buckled herself in. And this man came up and said, excuse me, I'm sitting in the window seat. And she said, oh, okay. And she's tried to get up, and of course the seat pulled her back down, and she's like, kept trying to stand up, and she's just in this panic, and I wasn't paying attention at first. I finally looked over and realized what was going on. I leaned over and said, Rose Maria, just unhooked your seatbelt. She said, oh, she was just in a panic because she couldn't get up.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was in a plane once where somebody sitting next to me had fallen asleep, and we were landing in Chicago, and he was changing planes, and he woke up, and he said, where are we? And we were just landing. We were just hitting the runway. And I said, we're in Chicago. And he goes, Chicago, oh, my God. And he, like, takes off the seatbelt, and he comes flying up in the air. He thought we were taking off.
Oh, no.
Instead of landing. And he thought he slept through the whole plane change. And we had literally, I was holding him down, and two of the flight attendants came, and they were like, calm down. Just whatever the problem is, we'll fix it later. Just sit still. And it was quite the excitement, let me tell you.
Oh, my goodness. So this sounds like a really interesting book to read for...
Well, I want to tell you, you haven't asked, but a lot of people have, why the Women Business Traveler's Guide to Survival? A lot of people are like, why not just the Business Traveler's Guide to Survival? And frankly, that was what the book was supposed to be, was for business travelers. And I'm on the road all the time, so I'm talking to business travelers. It was a lot of interviews, you know, in airport lounges and stuff. And when talking with people, all of the women, when we said, you know, what would you think about a book like this? Like, oh, great idea, I love it. I talked with all the men, and they'd say, we don't need that. We know how to do that.
Yes, the macho.
Yes, everyone's an expert, yes.
It's like all the men were like, no, we don't need directions. We know how to do that. And all the women were like, that's really cool. So we ended up focusing it more on women than men. But we do a seminar based on the book, and that's gender neutral. It's not gender specific at all. But it was just very interesting for me. I have yet to find a male business traveler who said, no, I need to know more about safety in hotels. You're like, yeah, like you guys. Yeah, we're big, burly guys. We know what we're doing. And so that's kind of how the book got slanted in a certain direction.
Well, all Stephen has to do is put on his crazy face and nobody's going to come near
him. No one will touch him, huh?
Right. People think, oh, boy, stay clear of me.
He's got a T-shirt that says, I'm mentally deranged, and he wonders how many people are going to come up and test him on that. And people believe him, too. That's the fun part.
Of course. I was sitting here listening to your show thinking, gee, I wish I could get this station myself. You guys are quite...
You can. It's on the Internet.
You can listen on the Internet at www.ciqc.com and listen in via Real Audio.
Well, I will have to do this.
It's a lot of fun. Now, where can somebody get your book?
We're on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or you can call 800-555-8141.
Did she say Amazon?
And that's my office.
Yes, she said Amazon, Chad. Chad wants to know if that's you on the cover.
No, that's not me on the cover.
Oh.
No, they wouldn't let me be on the cover.
Now he's all crestfallen. Who is that on the cover?
That is a friend of ours, actually. Rob Bach is a chiropractor. He wrote the health section of the book, and this is one of the chiropractors in his office.
Chiropractors?
However.
That's a chiropractor?
She's a chiropractor. But that, by the way, that is, though, my suitcase and my purse and my day timer and my cell phone and my briefcase.
I think
the accoutrements are mine, but no, the woman isn't me.
A chiropractor. Okay, now Chad all of a sudden has pains all over his body.
Oh.
The hours on Friday.
You have to say, oh, my. You have to say, oh, my back, Chad.
Oh.
Oh, goodness gracious.
As you
anyway.
Can tell, we always have fun here on Travel World. But a lot of great tips. Woman Business Traveler's Guide to Survival. Mm-hmm. And we can recommend it for anybody who does business travel, because those tips are very applicable. A lot of people do a lot of traveling, and a lot of people, we sell corporate travel, and they're on the road. And, you know, a friend of ours was going Montreal to Miami for lunch this week. Montreal to Miami for lunch. Spent 4 hours there, then on to New Orleans, then on to Washington, then to New York, take the train to Connecticut, and back up for, you know, 4 cities in 3 days. And,
I flew to Ohio from Atlanta to Ohio last week for lunch. I had a 2-hour business meeting. It took me 3 hours to get there and 3 hours to get home, and I was there for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. Another company we still travel to at Indianapolis for the day. I mean, it's just something to do, I guess.
Well, they keep saying, you know, computers are going to mean less paper. That's never happened. They say telecommuting is going to mean less business travel. That's not happening either. People still want to see a body.
I've seen the shipments of paper going to some of my customers, and they start talking about the paperless office, and I just start laughing.
No, there's still people have to get there to travel, and you cannot install a machine, or if a machine breaks down, being in corporate travel, I hope for people's machines to break down sometimes. It means more travel, so you have to repair things.
I've been in situations where I've had connections, and because of problems with connections, I've had to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning so I could fly to Pittsburgh and not be able to get any farther. So I've turned around and flown back. It's like, oh, great, I never got to the client. You know, all I did was get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to fly to Pittsburgh and back today. Wasn't that a lot of fun? Travel can be frustrating in business at times.
Well, it can also be recommended. Often people say, oh, I'll take the first flight out 6:15 in the morning. Now, they got to get up at 4 in the morning. They don't get a good night's sleep. Why not take the flight the night before at 6:30 p.m. and make sure you get there and get a good night's sleep in a hotel and then start the day fresh? I sometimes wonder the rationale behind those extra 4 hours at home.
My experience is that single business travelers tend to do the night before flight, and married, and especially married with kids, tend to do the next morning flight. When I was traveling with a consulting firm, if I traveled with the partner, the owner of the company, no one ever wanted to travel with her, not because she wasn't a lovely person, but because she always wanted to fly out first thing in the morning so she could have another evening with her husband. And the rest of us were all single. We're like, oh, let's go out the night before, let's get some sleep. But no, you know, when you travel a lot for business, you don't get a lot of time with spouse and family in the evenings when most families would be spending time together. And so if you're a part of a couple, you tend to want to squeeze in what time you can. I got married just a little over a year ago, and my travel habits changed at that time for that very reason.
Well, I'm going to be getting married next year, so I know exactly the feeling that you're talking about.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
Well,
anyway, so thanks
for
joining
here,
us.
Erin Farwell, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Again, the Woman Business Traveler's Guide to Survival.
So, Steve, what else have we got up?
Well, finishing up the week, we're talking about taking the flight the night before. Sometimes you have to do that because the carrier you're going to take is not the most reliable or most prompt. So, you know, for example, Montreal to Newark, Continental is giving a run to Comair for its money on winning Tardiness of the Year award. I guess it's those Embraer Brazilian jets, which we all know Continental got because the financing was better than Bombardier. So Continental, having come out of bankruptcy twice, it's the only carrier I know where a former CEO actually committed suicide in his office. This is back when they were headquartered in Los Angeles, and when they were acquired by Frank Lorenzo at the time, the former CEO was so distraught he committed suicide in his office. So Continental, with their Embraer regional jets, 2 and 3 hours late these days. Not the best on-time performance. So if you're going to Newark, go the night before. You might get there the next day.
And what about the thing of Canada 3000 you had to mention?
Well, Canada 3000 is continuing to get the negative press. They are still charging their $10, discriminating against passengers who, for religious or dietary means, have to order a special meal. And their President Angus Kinnear basically said in a press report, well, they don't like it, buzz off.
Find someone else.
Find somebody else. Fly somebody else. Well,
that's what we're urging everyone to do.
Well,
find someone else.
Six people this week said we were going to go to Paris with Canada 3000, and we're not going to take them now because we're not going to be nickel and dime to death. And they've had to lower their prices. And now, instead, here's the rationale. I guess Angus Kinnear studied at the Frank Lorenzo School of Airline Management. Rather than incorporate his cost for meals into the overall price of the airline ticket, he is cutting his prices. Montreal to London had to reduce it. It's $8.19 round trip on Air Transat, $6.69 on Canada 3000. He had to lower the price $150 because he's losing the passengers. Why not just include the meal for the sake of $20? My calculations, he's still at $130, even if those people buy the meals. So Canada 3000, charter companies.
Yeah, fly someone better.
Fly the scheduled airlines. They're the way to go. That's my belief.
What was that thing you saw about a trailer hitch, David?
Yes, the bumper dumper in yesterday's Gazette. I know what you use that hitch for on the Subaru, something. I think it comes from Cooper Industries or somebody. But they have a website, bumperdumper.com, so check that out. A
little toilet that you tow with your car?
Yes, it's great for camping trips and ecotourism and summer travels.
You ever drive around with someone on it?
No, I guess, well, we can try it. We can try it. Next Saturday, we'll be back from 11 to noon for Travel World here on AM 600. Leslie Robinson will be in, rescheduled for next week, her trip to Switzerland and Germany, and traveling the rails of Rail Europe and staying at the unique properties of Best Western. Next Saturday, 11 to noon for Travel World.
I'm Willem Backus, hands of Chad, and let's roll it.
The weather...